As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
This is Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. We are back after the international break. We've got the Brentford game to get our teeth into, and we've also got a packed mailbag to sift through too. Thank you, as always, for a brilliant response when we ask for questions. We've got Andy Mitten and Carl Anker with us. Both are ready to answer those. But first of all, Carl, what have we been doing to recover from that Liverpool game? Feels like we're still on a high in some ways.
I think I've jumped aboard the Manu hype train fully.
Did we not help start that?
Maybe
a few weeks ago.
Maybe possibly. I've had quite a few fans. I've quite a few non-Man United fans come up to me and go, "He's not all that. He's not all that." And I went, just wait. And then obviously post Belgium, it's like, "Oh,
he's really good."
Like, he's the truth. Tremendous.
Yeah, he's that good. He actually had me watching England, which doesn't happen very often, to be honest. Andy, did you watch England?
No. I'm sorry. I felt like I needed a break from football and from travel, and I've had that. I watched a little bit of it. I read about it.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of the England Brazil game, and yeah, that's it.
Basically, all you need to do is go back and watch the highlights and look at the build up to the England penalty, and that is why Maynou is being praised. I mean, it's similar to some of the body movements and play that he had against Liverpool in a way, but he's certainly expressing himself, and it makes you feel proud, doesn't it? It's quite nice, really. I know that you've been doing since the Liverpool game, Andy. You've been writing articles again, haven't you? I mean, our families were together having a lovely night out. Girls were playing football in the street. Wives were sharing wine. I was having a beer, and Andy was still typing away, checking the quotes on Ahmad were correct. That's dedication.
Well, it is. I don't normally do that, but my editor gave me a deadline, and I had to double-check some quotes, so I hate doing this, but I had to take my computer out and basically stand in the street checking that my quotes were factually correct and double sourced so that I could offer insight. I probably do that 3 or 4 times a year, but it's not something I like doing. But sometimes as a journalist, it's that. But
where's the weirdest place you filed from, Andy?
Good question. You know,
you're a very well-travelled man. I'm sure there's a couple of bus stops or public areas you've had to type things out on your phone or your laptop.
Yeah. All right. In a hospital, as my second daughter was about to be born.
Wow.
Obviously, they couldn't give me a precise time when my daughter was going to arrive, and I had to send a piece off about a trip to Iran, which had been on. My wife had stopped me going to, remember the Bayern Munich United game when Evra scored that goal?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd booked tickets the lot, and my wife went, nope. Which is a good point because my daughter was born, second daughter was born the next day. But yeah, it's not as glamorous as it might think. I've spent many a time sat on my backside in a bus station, opening up my computer. Part of you thinking, this computer costs a grand, doesn't it? I've been in some pretty dodgy places. Syria, Antarctica, filing my copy.
You certainly filed Ahmad though. I reckon quite a lot of people will have had a look at that. There's some very, very interesting quotes from the Manchester United coaching team, Darren Fletcher in particular, about Ahmad and his development since he arrived. He's banned, obviously, for the game at Brentford after that fantastic red card against Liverpool. But there definitely feels like there's more to come from him. And reading through your article, that only strengthened my opinion on that.
With that article, I want to see what's been going on behind the scenes, because you don't just buy a player and he goes, bing, he's ready to play in the first team. And I did a similar piece on Garnacho. It's the detail of how have you got them. Have you bulked them up physically, mentally? Do you send them on loan? Do you keep them inside Carrington? What sort of tests do you do? How do you replicate progress in training in short-sided games to 11-a-side in the Premier League? How do you deal with the frustration of a player who's not getting enough chances? How do you deal with a player who's on Ramadan and trying to be professional footballer and play as well? And I find it absolutely fascinating. And also, there are misconceptions. Ahmad's fee was £17 million.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I see, £38 million. It's not. It's £38 million if he's a massive success, wins the Ballon d'Or, Manchester United win multiple European Cups, etc. But how do you get him out of Atalanta? And how United's good relations with Atalanta gave United a head start when it came to signing Rasmus Højlund. You know, it all sort of interlinks. Ahmad was signed during COVID. I find it fascinating. You know, a lot of work went into it, so please read it. That's why I stand in the street filing this type of copy. And we're not getting carried away because he's hardly played any matches. Why was Rangers such a bad loan for him? Sunderland such a good loan for him? Sunderland fans were telling me he was the best player in the Championship last season. So suddenly that's £17 million. Okay, that's actually looking quite cheap now. But he wants to make it at Manchester United. What's he like as a person? Who does he knock about with? You know, I learned doing the piece that Paul Pogba and Eric Bailly were brilliant with him because they were French speakers.
Mm.
That's nice to know, isn't it? Don't just have a view that player X is bad because he's left. Actually, he was really helpful, Paul Pogba, with a young Ahmad. And, you know, he had a big, big struggle to get his papers because he wasn't a first teamer at Atalanta. And then he sent a picture to the club outside the British Embassy in Rome. I've got them. I'm coming. Absolutely buzzing. Isn't that wonderful? The stuff that never gets made public.
It's great. There's also, I really, really enjoyed the segment from Fletcher talking about what we discussed after the Liverpool game about his defensive application.
Yeah.
It's really nice when you get that sort of clarity. Like, ah, there it is. That's the thing that may or may not be keeping him out of the first team right now.
I think Fletcher's excellent, and I leave him alone. And I've known him a long time, and he's not someone who's into speaking to the media at all. And he got a bit of stick because people didn't actually know what his job was. And I'm like, explain what your job is. No, he doesn't. He just wants to focus on helping very talented young footballers become first team players for Manchester United. He doesn't need the money to do it. He's got the experience because of who he was. I think he articulates himself exceptionally well. And if everyone was telling me that it was a knobhead, I'd reflect that in my writing. But the opposite is true. They're like, someone said to me last week, this is a guy who's been there long. He knows the fabric of the club. Not in a cliched way. Mm-hmm. Not in a let's bring the Fergie vibes back, because that can be a negative as well as a positive. As in someone who's actually really, really good at his job. I think he'd make a top manager. But the fact that he's got two lots of twins, because people were doubting this in the article, going, I think you've made a mistake here. You've said that Darren Fletcher's got two lots of twins. You could do with correcting this. No. It's factually correct. He's got two lads who are professional footballers at Manchester United.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? Exactly.
Can you imagine?
But this plays into Ahmad again. Ahmad's become a father himself. So Darren can relate to him because he's also a father of not one, but two young kids of a similar age to Ahmad's young child and Garnacho's young child. So he can look, we're all tired today, boys. I haven't had my sleep either.
Yeah.
And that all helps. That all goes into this big pot of goodness, which ultimately, hopefully, leads to the moments that gave us a massive high after the Liverpool game.
Yeah, hopefully there's more of those, as you finished off the piece saying. I mean, if you want to know more about it, you know what to do. Go and read Andy's piece on The Athletic. Let's get into the mailbag then. And overwhelmingly, the top topic, as you'd imagine, was all about that Cobbie hype train that Carl was talking about before, because he's been doing it for Manchester United in recent weeks, but he's done it for England during this international break. It feels like he's booked his place to the European Championships in the summer already, if not booked his way into the team already, to be fair, with the way he played against Belgium. A couple of people made the point straight away, and I think I'll start with this because we have spoken a lot about his qualities and so on in recent times, but is this all coming a little bit too quickly, Carl. I mean, what do you think? This is John's question. Do you have any concerns about how quickly Cobbie's rise has been to becoming an important starter for us and now potentially England too after his performance this week? Could the sharp rise impact him? What do you think can be done to support him and also prevent burnout injuries? I mean, you weren't even a first-teamer for Manchester United, what, 2-3 months ago, whatever it was, because of the injury. In fact, last week he wasn't even in the England squad, and then look at him now.
I think the reason the hype train has started and why people have been feeding into it, including me, is because Cobbie, like Robbie, serves two roles both for his club and his country. So Manchester United have needed a midfield controller, a player of his ilk, someone who's really, really good around the centre circle since Michael Carrick hang up his boots. England, because of what's gone on with Calvin Phillips recently, because Jordan Henderson's, which what, whatever, have needed a midfielder who can stand next to Declan Rice and can help control games. You know, I did the Athletic FC podcast talk about Manu. You can all check that out if you want more of England perspective. And to my mind, I'm still burned by the European Championship final when no one got close to Jorginho and Verratti. And I think Manu is the sort of player that can offer what those two players offered for Italy. So the reason why he's playing so many minutes right now, I think, is because he's the sort of player that Manchester United have needed for ages and England have needed for ages. And to be fair, Ten Hag has been very consistent and quite loud in the times he takes him off. We talk about the Liverpool game. Maynard didn't play extra time. You can go back and listen to the episode after United lost to Nottingham Forest just before the new year and how angry I was that Ten Hag took off Maynard at half-time. And Ten Hag said, worst of the effect of, well, he played against West Ham, he's played against Aston Villa. I can't play him three times a week right now. If this was Manchester United in the quarterfinals of the Champions League and they were playing in the FA Cup and they were in the midst of a title race or properly in the top four, I might be concerned because he might have to play 90 minutes. But I think Ten Hag has been very good at knowing I've got one game a week. There are times I can stagger his game time. I think Mason Mount coming back to some form of fitness might help because Mount could, maybe, possibly, be the substitute option when you want to take Manu off or play ahead of Manu for certain games. The question now is Casemiro. If Casemiro's fit, that makes everything a lot easier. If he's not, then Manu's basically got to start every single game.
I like the way you phrased the question at the start, Ian, because we're expecting a drop-off. It's normal for young players to drop right off, and Cobbie has not really dropped off. A couple of home performances where you've been like, okay, that's a 6 out of 10. But I'm waiting for a button. There hasn't been one. Everything I hear about him from the guidance he's getting, Casemiro loves him, by the way. Casemiro at one point in training just looked at Erik ten Hag and went, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Isn't that absolutely lovely? United were not going to go to market until Cobbie got injured in Houston. I think it's wonderful. We spoke about him loads on this podcast. I remember going to Fleetwood and Staffordshire, speaking to youth coaches about him in the hope that it would come good. I didn't for 1 minute expect it to become this good. That debut at Everton was spectacular. Now he's doing it for England. National tabloid newspapers are doing a big double page features on him. He's just normal. He's just a normal lad. His neighbours don't even know who he is. We've got no scandal on him.
No social media.
I know.
He likes Instagram a little bit.
He's on Instagram.
He's on Instagram. Ah, he's on Instagram.
I need to follow him then. I didn't think he had any.
He did what the Gen Z is called drip pics, where they take photographs of their best streetwear, except his one is in a Tesco.
Okay. I definitely need to follow him then.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Just the 1.8 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Grand. People have noticed.
It's great. Imagine how much he could save Manchester United.
Imagine if Manu had emerged at Preston North End, and imagine the Manu section we'd have to do in this podcast over the summer, because he'd be linked to Manchester United anyway. He's emerged at just the right time for this club. He's helped alleviate so many other concerns in midfield. We're not really talking, we haven't spent too much time talking about Mason Mount's injury issues because Mane's fulfilled the need. We haven't spent too much time talking about Christian Eriksen's weaknesses in defence because Mane has come in and filled that spot next to a defensive midfield player. You know, he's not going to be 7, 8 out of 10 and score, you know, get 10 goals and 10 assists between now and the end of the season. But he's doing something that's really, really important at a time where so many United players haven't been able to do that for various reasons. And that's why, I mean, sometimes I just think about him and smile.
Yeah, I mean, we're not getting carried away, but I think Ryan's got a great point, Andy. He says, how many Ballon d'Ors do you think Cobby will win?
5, 4, maybe 3.
Great to be this excited, though, about a young lad, isn't it?
It is.
There's nothing better than this. I say this all the time. A local lad who supported the club, coming through and making an impact on the first team. There is nothing, in football for me, there is nothing better than that. Because I go back to it again, said it with Marcus Rashford before, it could be us. Like, that's what we all wanted to do. That's what we were all dreaming of as young lads.
We're smiling. It's wonderful. I think the issues are now, his life will be undergoing a huge change.
Yeah.
So suddenly you go from being able to go into Tesco's and not be recognised to being recognised all of the time. You are going to attract hangers-on if you're not careful financially.
Will he still shop at Tesco's, Andy? That's the question.
Why not? Tesco is extra if he wants to brand himself up a little bit or down with the Tesco value range part of it.
He is next to a club card voucher offer. I've just seen the Instagram post now.
And this is where family and club is really important. So his dad, Felix, he was mingling with United fans very discreetly in Cadiz when Cobby played in December 2022. He's a sensible person, creates a positive first impression. He has a slight advantage in that one of Cobby's half-brother is also famous. He was in Love Island.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had experience of what it's like in the media glare. And your life just undergoes a huge, huge change. And I think he's well adapted for that. But it can warp your mind. Just imagine it's you. People's reactions to you completely change. You've just keep your feet on the ground is... could be difficult, but I think Erik ten Hag's been very sensible with him. I think the players around him, and from what I gather about his personality, that's just him. This isn't someone who is a showman.
Yeah.
You know, you can see elements. I was worried about Garnacho at the start of this season. I said it on this podcast, and he's impressed me and proved me wrong. But he's a showman. He's got a totally different type of personality to Cobby. Let's just enjoy it because it's been one of the highlights of this season.
Yeah, it certainly has. And if you want to know more about Cobby, just keep your eyes on The Athletic because I got a feeling there's going to be more pieces coming over the next few days to go with the ones that we've already written and also the ones that have been written about his impact with England during this break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Right, midfield is also an area that we need to talk about. Carl, you've been writing about it. Exactly what Manchester United's midfield looks like moving forward now. We'll talk about the summer in a moment because we've had a couple of questions about whether this is an area that United will be looking at in the transfer market. But first of all, a question from Dylan. Could Casemiro's injury be a blessing in disguise in the next few weeks? United were visibly more mobile in the middle of the park against Liverpool and the press was executed at an intensity I don't know if Casemiro can match. What do you think, Andy?
I think it's a pertinent point because Casemiro's performances have dropped off compared to last season. It's been alarming at times as opponents' midfields have cut past Manchester United during matches, with Casemiro often being at fault. If he was an 8 out of 10 player last season, one of the most important players, he's been a 6 out of 10 for most games this season, and he's missed too much of the season. And if we were framing him positively a year ago, I think we'd frame him in a more negative way now, because he's one of the best paid footballers in the world.
Yeah.
As Carl said, Cobby's this soothing balm that's taken care of so many other problems. Has it taken care of the Casemiro problem? Well, actually, that they are slightly different players. Who is, if Cobby's going to be the future, Manchester United don't just have one midfielder. It's who else is going to play there? And Mason Mount, Christian Eriksen, I sense and understand is frustrated at his lack of matches. So there's all sorts of side issues, which means do Manchester United go to market again in the summer and bring another player in? That'll be difficult while Casemiro's still at the club, given how much money he earns. There's all these sort of side issues.
Yeah, we'll talk about the transfer market thing in a moment, but what do you think about this point about the intensity, Carl, and the midfield makeup against Liverpool? You've written about it. I mean, in fact, before we do that, just talk about Casemiro's injury record this year, because it was alarming how bad it's been this time compared to every season he's had in Europe, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, start of August, I looked at United squad, said, oh, probably could do with a Casemiro backup, talked to my friends, contacts at Real Madrid, and sort of said, well, how have Real Madrid ever created a backup to Casemiro? And one of my good friends basically told me they just stopped trying, because by all accounts, Casemiro eats right, it's meticulous in his preparation, fantastic in the gym. You know, he's one of those players where not quite to Cavani's level, but can come into training at Real Madrid every now and again and go, rather than take part in the training session, I'm going to go do a massage to make sure I'm tippity-top and not be burnt out for games. So I think they had Llorente, who was meant to be the backup, but eventually he got bored, played only 1,000 minutes, and he went off to Atletico Madrid before he became a box-to-box player. So in August, I said, it's really, really hard because you want to get someone who can be a backup to Casemiro, but Casemiro is nearly always fit. He's very, very important, and he's also one of those players, a bit like the Wayne Rooney type, where he maintains his match fitness by playing games rather than being rested.
Yeah.
So Amrabat came in, and Amrabat seemed, on paper, seemed to be perfect, because he was a player that would be happy to play limited minutes, but also understand that when he could come in, he could replicate some of Casemiro's game time. And then I don't think anyone foresaw Casemiro being this injured this often this season. It's 18 games for United he's missed this season. Across the last 9 seasons previously, he missed 31 games for United, Porto and Real Madrid. So this is completely unprecedented for him.
Yeah.
We all knew at some point in time Casemiro would start to slow down, but the speed at which he has slowed down has been really concerning.
But I wonder if he's just not been fit, Carl, based on that.
Yeah.
Whether he's just not been fully fit all season.
I doubt he's been fully fit. So it's been a hamstring injury and then some other...
It's all muscular.
Yes.
It's all muscular.
Something that Ten Hag doesn't want to describe. But it all sounds like muscle problems.
Mm.
And even when he has been fit, he's not been as good positionally as what he used to be. I think some of that is because United really wanted to press higher up the field and just gave him too much space to cover. But also, I mean, again, the game against Everton at Old Trafford, when it's Mainoo talking to Casemiro and saying, slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is a bit concerning. One thing I will say to Casemiro, and one thing that United miss dearly when he's out the side, is he remains phenomenal in the air, in both boxes. We've seen how dangerous he is on free kicks. We've seen how good he was defending free kicks. And the options without Casemiro, I'm looking at Brentford. We all know how direct Brentford want to play. We all know what Ivan Toney wants to do. Mainoo and someone else against Ivan Toney and the rest of Brentford's team makes me a bit worried.
Yeah, yeah, we'll come to that shortly in that Brentford preview. Do you think there is a chance that United enter the market then for someone in midfield, Andy? I mean, Adam on X has said, do you think United will invest in the midfield this summer? It feels like we need another nailed starter to go with Cobby and Bruno to me, but I wonder if it'll be prioritised or we just try and make do with Casemiro, Scotty to Hottie, who I think he means is McTominay, etc. Mason Mount, obviously, like Carl's mentioned and written about, is another option in there potentially.
There's a very simple answer to this question, and it's what we've been talking about. It's Casemiro. If he stays, then there's your budget. If a club comes in for him from Saudi Arabia and takes him off United's hands, suddenly that frees up a huge amount of money for financial fair play, because as I said earlier, he's one of the best paid footballers in the world. And he's got a big, big contract. And all the points we've been making about his form, his injuries are completely correct. Does he get that back? Does this one season just become an aberration in a top, top class career? Or did his leg switch off last June? Because it was weird how he just went from being one of United's most important players to not being in the space of a couple of months. And as Carl said, when he was at Madrid, he wasn't someone who was getting injured. His professionalism is outstanding. Even now, I was at Carrington a few weeks ago. He was the first player who turned up for training. He was there. You know, he's still showing good examples of professionalism. If Casemiro goes, and that's on his terms, because he signed his huge contract, then I think Manchester United go to market. Who do you want in there? Well, there's a wish list. I know that one scout was saying, just build your team around Fede Valverde, who is one of the players at Real Madrid who was competing with Casemiro, slightly different player, more attacking.
That's an interesting
They're never ever going to sell him in a million years. They're never going to sell him in a million years. So that's just, you know, build your team about Lionel Messi, who'd like him. And Cobby's come through. So it feels premature saying build a team around him, but he's clearly competent. If Christian Eriksen goes, that frees up some money. If Casemiro goes, that frees up some money as well. I think if they stay, then your priorities are in different areas. That's where we'll see what's happening in the transfer market. And then aside from which players you want, it's which players you can shift and where's the market. Now, what is happening now is John Murta plus others are travelling around Europe and beyond. They're having face-to-face meetings. They're being papped in Barcelona. Is that because Barcelona want them to be papped? Because they want to show that they're being proactive to sell some of their players to Manchester United. And there is a perception outside of England that Premier League clubs are arrogant. And the bigger they are, the more arrogant they are. So when people like John go and meet Barca and make the effort to fly there and sit on row one of a Jet 2 budget airline and go to the restaurants and say, okay, are we looking for this season? Then that's Manchester United maybe not being arrogant. A bigger question is, will these people actually be in a position to be making these changes? Because there's so many changes going on with the Ineos investment at Manchester United. So many questions as to what goes on the pitch and off the pitch.
Another area that might be in question, Carl, is in the transfer market is left back. Joe's question. Shaw has played 191 games for United in 10 years. He's had his calculator out here. Fernandez has played 150 in 4 years in comparison. With that in mind, do you think the new regime will look to sell in the summer and dip into the market for a new, less injury-prone left-back? I mean, comparing anyone to Bruno Fernandez for a start isn't going to compare favourably because that man plays every second of every minute of every game possible. But is that a concern, Shaw's record this year?
There is a Luke Shaw question, and it's fun this is asked because I'm going to guess you're not a subscriber because I did a piece on this in February, didn't I?
So, Joe, if you're not a subscriber, the question is why not?
Exactly. So, in February, so this is just before the, I want to say the Luton game, I did a piece saying, you know, Luke Shaw's injury record is reaching a point where he is now more theoretical as a first team option. And considering Malasia's injury status and the issues with the other on loan left backs, United probably need to start looking at getting a successor, if not another deputy. So I worked with Mark Carey. We did our similarity tests. You know, here's what Luke Shaw's good at. Beep, boop, beep. Find me a player under the age of 24, because I think that's going to be a really important thing this summer as well, getting younger players. Players on the age of 24, players that can be at United for 5 or 6 years, and hopefully you can, if you're an accountant, amortise their fees if they work out or if they don't work out.
Resale value.
Exactly. All that stuff. So we did a similarity test for Luke Shaw, pulled a big lever, and we got a number of players, a number of left backs who we thought would be interesting. I'm not going to reveal the top name on the list because I want you to subscribe and read it. But I do want to highlight one particular player who I think, if I know how the newspapers work, you're going to hear the name Melvin Bard linked to Manchester United all summer long. He plays for Nice. He's a left back. Who else are owned by Nice? Just when Melvin Bard gets linked to Manchester United this summer, send us a tweet, send us an email and go, Carl told you so. He's going to be a player you want to keep an eye on.
If UEFA are listening, I don't think the clubs are that close.
It's just the newspapers. It's just how the newspapers issues. Work. You know, we'll get onto that when we start talking about Southgate.
Name another player who's played left back for Nice and Manchester United.
Oof.
It can't be as simple as Evra.
It is. Well done.
Go on, Carl.
There you go.
We got Ian out of that one there, didn't we?
Yes, you did. Right, let's move it on. Dan's question, love this. If you could all liken yourself to a Manchester United player, past or present, which reflects your podcasting style, who would it be? For example, I'd say Ian would be the Michael Carrick of the Talk of the Devils boys. Somewhat underappreciated, keeps things ticking over, and is smart and concise with his work. Thank you, Dan. You can come again. Andy, who would you compare yourself to?
That's a hard one. I've been told in the past that I look like certain players.
Lee Sharp.
When I was younger. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't a bad thing when you're 18, Ian.
Well, you've told us a lot about it. That's
fantastic. Yeah. Also been told I look like Phil Neville and Gareth Southgate, but, you know, not quite Lee Sharp, is it?
So if you compared yourself to one of those gentlemen or another?
I can't answer this question because, I mean, I enjoy doing the pod. I give it my all and I hope that people listen and appreciate it. But that's a really sensible answer. You know, we all have our era. I'm not going to compare myself to...
I'm going to call you Captain Marvel.
Brian Robson.
Oh, we've gone there.
Yeah, I'm going to call you that. All action. You know, you're
still around the
all
place.
All action, all over the place. I can ask you any sort of question and you're going to give me something. I'm not going to lie. You carried me through some of these sections when my knowledge isn't where it should be. So, yeah, I'll call you Captain Marvel.
I'd take that, Andy, if I were you. Yeah,
I'll take it. I'm doing stuff with him this year, which we'll talk about in the future, but there you go.
Carl?
Very, very, very early on when you joined this podcast, I said, you're the defensive midfielder, so I can do a Paul Pogba role and get further up the field. So
Okay. Free you up.
Yeah, free me up.
So you're going Paul Pogba?
I'll go Paul Pogba in that I'm not everyone's cup of tea. Sometimes I do well, sometimes I drop a stinker. And I do also do silly things to my hair. So, yeah, why not?
So who are you having yourself as, Ian?
I'm all right with Carrick. I'm
all right, yeah, fair enough.
Smart and concise, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
He's not here, but we should do Laurie as well, shouldn't we, really? And make this as insulting as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Andrei Konchelski is just absolutely mental. Zipping past people. I could compare Laurie to absolutely loads of him.
I mean, he likes the finer things in life. He's well-travelled.
I mean, he says he's all of these things.
He's got a deceptively high work rate that often gets overlooked because he looks handsome.
Is he handsome? Would you say Laurie was handsome?
Yeah, he's a good-looking man, Laurie.
If you squint a bit, maybe.
He's handsome, man. Yeah. We also all tease him mercilessly so he doesn't realise how good he is. So I'm going to say he's David Beckham.
No.
Beckham dresses well. That's the opposite of Laurie.
Good point.
And he's got good hair.
I get all the other bits, but I'm not having the dress sense.
Beckham's had about 4,327 haircuts that are better than Laurie's, so we can't compare him to David Beckham. What do you reckon, Andy?
He's bang on, isn't he? What he goes, and Carl's quite right. I like the plaudits for him, but I'm knocking him down on his dress sense.
Right. So we're going with David Beckham then. I hope Laurie's not listening, actually, because we'll never hear the end of that. But Dan, thank you for your question. Always like the random ones. Right. Carl, you alluded to this a moment ago, actually. Chris Phelps has been in touch on email. He said, I've gone through all the stages of should Eric stay or be sacked at certain points this season. Do you think with the coaches we're seeing in the press, like Gareth Southgate and Gary O'Neill, is Sir Jim going for English coaches only? And do we think Eric will be here next season? I don't think we need to answer the end of that because we've spoke about it many times. We don't know yet. And I don't know if a decision has been made one way or another. But what do you think about the types of names that are being linked, Andy?
Yeah. I can see that. Ineos are speaking to a lot of different people. You're seeing names being out there. I think sometimes to test the water. I saw Southgate's name link last week. The timing couldn't have been worse for Southgate, and couldn't have been better for Erik ten Hag, because he's at a season high in terms of his stock, in my opinion.
Yeah.
After that Liverpool high, and you actually saw a massive pushback from Manchester United fans, with a lot of people coming out going, "No, we're all right with Erik. Let's see how this season finishes with Erik." Although Erik, we still don't know the answer to whether he'll be in charge for next season. We're going to see names linked. I don't think it's wrong of us to scrutinise Ineos as well. I think we should keep them on their toes. They might have their idealised version of who they want to be at Manchester United, but they got a lot wrong when they went in at Nice before they started to get things right.
Mm.
And just because you speak to a lot of people doesn't mean that you're making the right decisions. So Ineos are running Manchester United at the moment, but officially several of them have not started in their positions. So it's people still making other footballing decisions. The power's all over the shop at the moment. It's a really interesting and weird time for where the football club is. And I've just doing this podcast, I've just had a very good journalist in Madrid contact me and say, "What about this with Dan Ashworth?" I'm like, "Well, Dan Ashworth isn't working for Manchester United yet. You know, who's doing gardening leave? What's going on?" And we don't know the answers to all of this. I think Southgate's a good manager and a good person, but it was like a 90% pushback from United fans.
There was.
Yeah.
Really strong, wasn't it?
Very strong.
I also want to say, there wasn't any of this Southgate to United chat on The Athletic.
No, read into that what you will.
Part of me pushes back on this, because if you are a certain media outlet and you don't have international football and you want to keep things ticking over, you may find a way to get a international football manager and Manchester United into the same sentence to just keep things ticking over nicely. And that's my incredibly cynical tinfoil hat take about what happened over the last couple of days.
You're totally right, Carl. I've had four agents in the last 2 weeks say to me, you might want to write about my client because Manchester United are pushing hard for him. And then I do my job and I say, are United pushing hard for this person? Well, no, he's one of 12 players we're looking at in that position. But if you want a yes or no, then we're going to say no. So where does the truth lie? Because I'm then seeing other journalists going, Manchester United are chasing, bang, bang, bang. And I'm thinking, well, that's not my understanding of it. But if you want hits and clicks, shit for clicks, then you can do it. And I suppose that depends on what type of journalist you are as well. But there are certain international break stories, aren't there?
Mm-hmm.
And the stories that go out there, which can't be disproved. So you go out and say, Manchester United are looking at whatever. There's no denials anywhere. It's not in anyone's interest to do the denials. And just because a scout went to a game, well, Manchester United have got dozens and dozens of scouts watching games all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The database, as we know, is an absolutely vast one.
Well, we're going to have to move on to Brentford in a moment, but I just wanted to say before we go any further, thank you for the brilliant response to our request for questions. Remember the email devilspod@theathletic.com if you want to get in touch in the future. You don't have to wait for a mailbag issue like we've done now. Just get in touch whenever with questions and points for the boys, and we will talk about them, I promise.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Manchester United away at Brentford. Immediately made me think of the start of last season, Andy, when I saw this fixture coming at the other side of the international break. It feels like such a long time ago. I mean, Ronaldo up front, sunshine. These things just feel like a long, long time. United being 4-0 down at half-time.
It was horrendous, wasn't it?
Probably the worst half of football ever as a Manchester United fan, I don't know.
So I remember Brentford were doing their warm-up drills and they did a sprint, like a five-yard sprint. I remember looking at them going, that's quick. Only for a sort of Brentford fan to go, no, it's not. That's just regular, degular. And then, of course, they just ran United off the park in 45 minutes. But, you know, Ten Hag's credit, he changed things. I also remember, I very clearly remember Ivan Toney going past the halfway line for a rare goal kick and he just pointed up, just put it high and I'm going to test Lisandro Martinez, when we all thought being 5'9" was completely impossible for a centre-back. I'm feeling confident about this one. Andy?
Yeah, I think we should feel confident because Brentford are really out of form. They're only 5 points off the relegation zone, but they're particularly bad at home as well. They've only won 4 of the 14 matches. They've conceded...
Mad that, isn't it?
Yeah, they've conceded 29 goals at home. Only Burnley and Sheffield United have conceded more than that at home. So the point last season about Brentford was their new stadium was really effective. It was a good base for them. The atmosphere, I've seen it myself there. I also saw them play Liverpool last year. It's fantastic.
Fan of the stadium, aren't you, Andy?
we'll do a pod with no stadium talk.
Yeah. You've taken pictures of the empty Brentford GTEC Community Stadium before now.
Yeah, I've been accosted, escorted rather than accosted off that site, having taken pictures. Yeah, I have. United really need to be winning this because if United don't win it, you're going to get another slump. So we've had this 2-week high, which is favouring the players, it's favouring Ten Hag. That is the prevailing mood at the moment. But the week after Brentford, you've got another away game in London against Chelsea, then you've got Liverpool at home. They will both be infinitely more difficult. If United are going to get Champions League football, got to really be beating Brentford. And doing it more comfortably than that league game at Old Trafford in September, because I know Erik ten Hag loves to talk about that game and talk about how Scotty was ready to come on and change it. And it was really exciting when you were there. But actually, that performance was one of the real worries and the reason why Ineos might be doubting the manager.
Yeah.
Because Brentford shouldn't be coming to Old Trafford and being as effective as they were during that match. So can we have a 2024 Manchester United performance? Go to an away game, beat Brentford, look comfortable, don't throw us into loads of jeopardy, and then build on that and stay in West London. Yeah, 2 games in West London. Brentford and Chelsea are only about 2 or 3 miles apart, aren't they?
Andy, you said, you know, when Scott McTominay came on and got the 2 goals, started against Liverpool. Do you start him against Brentford here?
I wouldn't be uncomfortable if Scott McTominay started against Brentford, especially what he did.
I'd start him.
I think he's a good player. And if he comes off the bench, then the away end will be like, whoa, we're going to have a repeat here. But we don't want to be a goal down.
We don't need a repeat, do we? We don't want to need a repeat.
Yeah. Rives will not take a repeat. A repeat of what happened last year at Brentford, I just think Erik ten Hag's stock would absolutely slump because it would show that He's struggling to get control in certain matches. But I'm confident. I feel more confident than we were against Villa, which seemed pretty daunting at the time. But United were very impressive in that. So 3 points. Brentford have been really, really poor. That said, they gave Manchester City a good game at the start of last month. You know, they have got decent performances in them, but their form is their form and it's poor.
They've been hit hard by injury problems. Tony's coming back is big, but also they've got, I mean, their left-back options are really threadbare due to the injuries and whatnot. So,
well, Reguilon, there's no reunion with him after his red card against Burnley either, is there?
It's the battle of the teams who've had terrible issues with left back this season. I mean, they lost to Burnley last time out because of that red card. They only lost 2-1 at Arsenal at the start of the month. They drew against Chelsea.
They've always been better against the better teams, haven't they, in the league?
They do, and they beat Wolves 2-0 away a week after Manchester United had got the result there. But Liverpool beat them 4-1 at Brentford. This is what the top teams are doing. They're going there and getting a decent result. Although, as I say that, Brentford beat Liverpool last season. So, come on, United.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Tony before. Before we finish this off, Carl, he's also had a strong international break, like Maynard, who we started the pod talking about. I loved the quote about Tony saying, when I was 18, I was playing my Xbox, and here he is with the keys to Wembley. A bit speculative, maybe, but Tony at United, is he the sort of player, character, individual that you could see fitting in? I mean, I've got no information that he's a target for United or anything like that, but he'd fancy it. He seems to fancy going anywhere other than playing at Brentford again next year.
His style of play is Ten Hag friendly. You know, last season, you know, I looked at all the players, again, you know, based on all the strikers Ten Hag has used in the past. Tony is tall. He's a good target man. He can hold the ball up. He's a very, very good finisher inside the box, both with his head and with his feet. Takes very good penalties, which, you know, adds to the surplus of penalty takers Manchester United have. So if you gave me a blind CV of a striker with all of Tony's qualities, I go, ah, interesting. If you then removed it and went, he's this old, I go, okay.
How old is he? Is he about 30, 31? 28. Is that all he is?
Yeah, but he's a late developer. Yep. When he was 22, he was at Scunthorpe United. He kept going on loans all the time, but I'd have him. Manchester United need strikers, and it's all right saying, yeah, a world class striker. Who? Because last season, once it was known that Kane was going, Hoyland was one. Tottenham were going to go heavy for Hoyland. PSG had a plane ready to pick up Hoyland's family from Bergamo Airport, and Manchester United got him. These strikers are not growing on trees. There's not a wish list. So if this is someone who, in theory, is at his peak, who's doing very well in the Premier League, who can score in the Premier League, what other options do United have? Martial?
I often come back to that Fergie quote where you said you need four strikers.
That's when there was two up front,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, things have changed a bit more. I do think United need to go into next season with three number nines. If money was no option, I think Ten Hag will go with three number nines. I mean, I've heard people say United are trying to get an experienced striker who can come in for Hoyland when Hoyland's tired. I've heard United want to get a younger striker to develop below Hoyland. So no one knows, really. I want to go into next season knowing when Marcus Rashford plays, he's playing on a left wing, because I don't think Rashford centre forward works anymore. Tony, he's got the confidence, and the more I think about it, I mean, you pulled a face when you were you saying Tony to United, maybe? Like, your eyebrow went up, and my eyebrow's just going up right now. I think everyone's just going, kinda?
Let's hope he doesn't have a game this weekend which makes those eyebrows lower. Let's hope he has a game that makes the eyebrows raise, and then we'll see after that. But yeah, let's leave it there then. Andy, thank you. Carl, thank you for your company, and thank you for listening along as well. I shouldn't have left this to the end, but before we finish, I just want to say a huge thank you for a fantastic response to the Liverpool podcast before the international break as well. It was brilliant to have so many of you engaged, so many of you listening along as well. We don't take that for granted. So thank you very much as always. We'll be back after Brentford, whatever happens. See you next time. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.